come to pass, just yield myself to you to let your Holy Spirit bring forth what you've invested in me that you want to use to feed your children here tonight as we've gathered to and have come thirsty and hungry, God, for you. We love you. We praise you. We count this a sacred time, sacred trust, Lord. And so, Father, help us to especially put aside any of the wars that are being raged that would try to distract us from just communing with you. We ask for a hedge of protection and that we may focus and follow you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so I believe you don't know it, but I'm going to jump around a little bit tonight. And I mean, spiritually, like it might be a little mixed spaghetti because I'm not sure where I'm going, but I do have a start. So, and that's always fun. As I prayed and always purposed to pray, God knows what our needs are. He knows exactly what each and every one of us are going through. And he wants to meet us. I hope that you've come with an expectation and cultivating, as we've been taught and teach, cultivating an expectation of God to come in and come under the covering of the established covering of the pulpit for our lives so that the Holy Spirit can have free course to objectively meet us. And if we yield ourselves to instruct us in a way and to feed us and equip us. It reminds me of, and I always think of this because I think it's quite amazing and encouraging. In Psalm 23, it says there that he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He prepares a table for us there in the presence of our enemies. And in a hermeneutical term, that's a Bible college level term for rightly dividing the word and studying it. In the eisegetics, which is an aspect of the study of the word and rightly dividing it, you look at the history and what's behind the language and what's being pictured. And there where it says that he prepares a table before us, that word table there is taken from and illustrated by the times of the kings and the knights era, which was kind of short, but it speaks of, and I'm sure many in our culture are aware of this, the round table of King Arthur, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But in our case, we serve King Jesus. And the table that he calls us to is a counseling time before him where the knights would come in and sit at the round table. And each knight was responsible for areas on the front line of battle. And they would be sent out and they were commissioned by the king that they were serving, equipped, empowered, and backed up by that kingdom. And they are sent out to represent a certain area on the front line of either to be advancing the representation of the king, or perhaps in defense if an enemy was coming in and attacking. And but in this case, in this table, at that time, the king had plants in the enemy's camps. And the king knew exactly what the enemy was planning because of those spies. And so when he brought his knights in, he would bring counsel and strategy, specific strategic strategy for those knights with the advantage of knowing what the enemy was up to. And he would send them out accordingly. And that's the way it is for us when we come in. Church, if you will, if you can draw a parallel, in our time of meetings together is a time when we're called in. We come under the covering of the pulpit, and the pastor teacher that God has given us as a gift. And through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he counsels us, equips us, and he does it from eternal viewpoint, which gives us the advantage of the understanding that God is counseling us, and he knows what the enemy is up to and what the enemy is bringing against us. And that's an awesome advantage. And if we will learn to come with expectation and give an ear to hear, and open our minds to perceive, the Holy Spirit will be speaking, and he'll comment and meet you where you're at, and give you the counsel that you need. I'm just speaking from personal experience here. I prayed. I shared this afternoon at the Wednesday afternoon study. Pastor, when I can't go, I always look forward to hearing your testimonies of what took place in evangelism the night before. And not tooting my own horn, but just because I desire to be there in evangelism on Saturday nights with you as often as I can. But when I can't, I commit myself to prayer for that time. Also for evangelism on Saturday afternoons as well. And it just thrills me to come in and hear you testify and others of how the evening went so well and there were divine appointments and knowing that I had a part, at least, in prayer. And that was God's plan for me. But I also prayed, and as I've already cultivated and put out there, for the service on Sunday morning. And I was in the service, from how many remember, his opening passage of Scripture that just stuck and radiated with me, okay? And it was Psalm 144, verse 1 and 2. And just to kind of paraphrase it or summarize it, he teacheth my hands to war, my fingers to do battle, or to fight. And that's the way I believe that God would have us to look to him and expect that when we come in, we hear from him. And I know I'm teaching and speaking to mostly a discipleship mature crowd tonight, but there are some that may listen to this and some in our midst that maybe have never heard this before. I'm not sure. Who knows? But for whatever you want to say, God is speaking. And so we need to be refreshed in it as being fresh from the throne. Now remember, I correlated, and that was fresh, Psalm 23, on that table that's prepared for us in the presence of our enemies by our King, King Jesus. And his desire is for his will to be done wherever we are at. And I've shared openly, and I'll share it again tonight. I recently, when I say recently, probably within the last 6-8 months, came into an awareness of the revelation of what the word kingdom means and what it means when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, or the outline there, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I want to rehearse or reemphasize and represent a definition for that, because the word kingdom is broken up in 2 syllables. And the first word of the word kingdom is references again our King Jesus, okay? And the second part of that English word kingdom represents the word dominion. And so when I think now of whenever I hear the word kingdom, I think of the establishment of the king's dominion, the king having dominion over the area that is his. And God uses us to do exactly that. And when we kneel before God in prayer and we pray over a situation, a circumstance, or a battlefront, or a need, and we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, what we're literally asking for and being used by God to do is to establish his dominion over that subject, the king's dominion. And for me, that rhema in Revelation was fresh and new for me this past year. And it goes along with in 1 John 4:17, and I'm not sure, I sometimes get this mixed up, but in 1 John 4:17, the word says that as he is in the world, so are we. And 1 John 3:8 says that Jesus came or has come to destroy the works of the devil. And so the idea is we are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ wherever we go. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 22. We are the ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 22 there. And as ambassadors, we go, we represent him, and he works through us. I should be refreshing to just think in terms. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. And literally, Jesus works in us and through us. And so, as we go, wherever we go, and whatever we put our hands to, if we're walking in obedience and submitted to the Lord and his will and seeking his will and doing what we believe that he's called us to do, literally the Holy Spirit is working through us to manifest the presence of God, Jesus Christ through us, Jesus Christ in us, in the form of the Holy Spirit. And so we become the representation, we become the ambassador that brings in and administers the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we become administrators of his justice in the situation. And we are used of God in our communion with him as believer priests and, again, ambassadors to manifest the king's dominion, the king's dominion. And what we do is we see to it, God uses us to see to it, that his light is shown and the darkness is repelled, to reveal what he is willing and that we have communed with him and he's communed with us and he speaks through us as we reflect what he's communing and speaking to us. And I shared this this afternoon, and I'll share it here again tonight. If you want to turn to another area in the Word in the New Testament, in John chapter, Mark, help me out with this. If I pull in the wrong wrong scripture, I know he's one of my disciples and note takers on Wednesday. And John 21, verse 20. Okay, and there's three verses that are involved here, so there's a correlated point, a reference. John 21, verse 20. There you got Jesus, Peter, John, maybe some others. And Peter is conversing with the Lord. And Peter starts to engage with the Lord about the Lord's will for John's life. I hope I've got it right. And Jesus says to Peter, what I do with John, what is that to you? And then he goes on to instruct him and the others as well. Focus, and I'll paraphrase, focus and follow me. Focus and follow me. And so now, having given the reference, I just want to extrapolate up on it a little bit. But the idea there is that God has a call on our lives that is corporate and individual. So we have the corporate body of Christ is an expression and term that we use here in our language. The corporate body of Christ, referencing the church, and we're part of the church, and we're part of the work that God has called us to. And we come under the covering of the pulpit and the leadership and our pastor and the ministry overall. And we're called to be a part of that. And each and every one of us have gifts that contribute to the operations and the intricate activities in the makeup of the, in the functions of the church. But we also have a call in terms of a personal call, in what God is doing with us in our lives. And in Ephesians chapter 2, it speaks of, in verses 6 through 8, it talks about how we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And we are his, I believe in the Greek it's his poem. And it's like we are his masterpieces. And it's and he has a plan for us. And sometimes you hear the expression that in the council that God has a plan for your life. And that's a part of where that comes from. That God does have a plan for our lives, and it's a unique plan, and it's a plan for us individually. And where I'm going with this is I want to bring in a focus and an emphasis for consideration and reminder that where you are in life and where you live and the people that you're exposed to, the family that you have, the responsibilities that you have, that is part of your call as well. Now, I'm assuming to an extent, speaking again to disciples, I'm not going to go a whole lot with that reference, but I'm speaking to individuals that have made a Romans 12:1 decision to offer themselves as living sacrifices to the Lord. I'm speaking to individuals that are trusting in the Lord with all their hearts, and leaning not at times on their own understanding, but lifting him up in all that he said, all that you say and that you do. Proverbs chapter 3, 4 and 5, 5 and 6, chapter Proverbs 3, 4, 5 and 6. And God is ordering our steps. And where we are at in those different represented individual circumstances and geographical locations is part of God's plan for you. And it's where God is at work working to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. In addition to what you do when you come in to serve the in the body of Christ, when you go home and you have family responsibilities, you have, if you're working, you have responsibilities at work. You live in a specific, I mean, if you just consider the makeup here tonight, we're spread out all over the region. And I know that you know these things, but just as a, I want to, I think there's a temptation at times to look at what's out there in the world. And we want to be available to pray and be concerned and do what we can. You know, I was thinking about in this way. You think in the South in the tornado belt. You know, the tornadoes are coming through and all kinds of devastation. And every night on world news, there's the different reports that are coming in. And then you go through another part of the world and there's disasters and catastrophes taking place there. And you could very easily get overwhelmed by it. And you also could fall into the trap of thinking, well, those big things are out there. Who am I to think and be occupied with my front, my place of dwelling? Well, remember what I said about being knights, being set out by the king? Okay, right now, where you are at, that is, you are on the front lines where you have been assigned to be by God Almighty. And you are the soldier that is assigned to stand and hold that ground, that place where that you have been assigned by God until God changes it. Okay? You might be considering, does God want me to be in another geographical location? and you're searching to try to find the geographical location of God that's perfect for you. Until God tells you where that is and shows you and leads you to there, stand where you are. And consider that where you are is where God has you to be in his sovereignty. Because God is the one who is sovereignly and ultimately in control. And in the mundane details of life, I shared this because of the makeup this afternoon, and I'll share it again. Whether you're changing babies on a younger level, babies, changing diapers, or changing diapers for adults, okay? Do it as unto the Lord, because it's part of God's plan, and you are representing God there, and perhaps you have the opportunity. And I'm thinking specifically right now of one sister who works in a nursing home, and she's wanted to leave, has studied for another profession, and God hasn't opened the door for her to enter into that profession and make the change. But she has a ministry, and she shared with us at one time how she takes the people that she's responsible for in a nursing home, and she has these clues that she physically, that I won't go into, that she picks up on to know when it's about their time to pass. And she'll lock the door and she'll preach the gospel to them. and she's had testimony after testimony of responses to her doing exactly that. And it's a risk for her to do that. But anyways, my point is, God's got her there for perhaps that very reason. And maybe, who knows how many souls will be won by her actions and her action of choosing to trust God where she's at and to serve him with all of her heart as unto the Lord. And trusting God. And when I say trusting God, because there's a lot of times that in the details of life, you know, we find ourselves wondering, is this really your plan, God? Is this how I'm supposed to be spending my time? And, you know, if you're thinking that, that's a good indication that you're okay with God and the Holy Spirit's at work, or you wouldn't be asking those questions, okay? And just to give you, I've shared this in the past, so I'll share it again. I was talking about lamenting not being out soul winning. Okay, and I know many of you heard this, but for some, again, it'll be new. But I remember one Saturday afternoon, they were doing outreach in Mechanicsville, and I couldn't make it because of the details of life and my responsibility at home. And so I'm working in a shop, and my shop has a 16-foot open door on it that's exposed east and west alongside Route 67. And I was sitting in the sunlight on a 5-gallon empty pail, oil pail, and I was praying. And I was actually lamenting because I was stuck in the shop dealing with an emergency detail and breakdown, and I wanted to be out soul winning. So I was praying for the soul winning and evangelism, and I'm sitting on this pail lamenting, almost having a woe is me attitude, okay? And I'm praying, and this car pulls up. A guy gets out, and he walks up to me, complete stranger, and he says, what are you doing? And I looked at him, and I looked left and right, and I says, well, you really want to know? I was praying. And the guy broke down in tears and started to pour his heart out, and in about 10, 15 minutes later, he was praying to receive Christ. And, you know, here I am lamenting and on woe is me, I got to be stuck in the shop today, okay? Well, that's exactly where God wanted me to be at that moment. And so when Jesus in John 21:20 is talking to Peter, Peter begs the question, well, what about John? And Jesus' response was, what is it to you what I do with John? He didn't use his name. He pointed to him, okay? What is it to you what I do with him? And then he says, follow me. And so having shared that, I want to just put this warning out there, okay? Don't get tripped up or fall prey to the snare of comparing yourselves to others in the body and looking at the exploits of how God is using them and then looking at yourself and wondering what you should be doing differently, okay? And don't be looking at them and trying to figure out what they should be doing and arguing with God and trying to intervene to get them to do something different than they're doing, okay? Jesus says, look and follow me. Look and follow me. And Paul wrote in his letters, I believe it's to the Corinthians, it is not wise for us to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. In other words, don't compare yourself with others and look at them and put each of you on a graft and say, well, I should be where they are. You know, look at them and look at me. No, God has an individual plan, an individual call, and you are right where he's supposed to be. Pastor Lance Borowski preached a message years ago, and I'll never forget it. And the title of it was, and really the whole essence of the message was, serve God right where you're at. Serve God right where you're at. And also don't be tripped up by pursuing the plan that God has for you in this respect. Stand where you are. In Ephesians chapter 6, with the full armor of God, verses 10 on, Paul writes and describes the full armor of God. And three times he says, stand. When the day of evil comes, stand. Stand. So you get the idea, stand. In other words, wherever you're at, when the evil comes in, you put on the full armor of God, you look to Jesus, and you stand. Exercising the full armor. And stand and prevail where you're at. That was the other aspect of his message. And I'll share it again tonight. Prevail where you're at. Learn to prevail where you're at. Sometimes young believers get caught up with trying to figure out what the plan of God is, the big, major, overall, specific, detailed plan of God is, and they lose sight of and stop operating in the obvious parts that are defined in the Word as the plan of God for our lives. For instance, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, 24, 25. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Oh, what should I be doing? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Okay. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your moderation be known on all to all men. The word moderation there is sweet reasonableness in our presentation. But again, rejoice in the Lord. Okay, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, 24, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Luke 18, 1, man ought always to pray and not faint. I go on and on and on the doctrine of continuous prayer. All right, these are, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. These are specific counsel from the Word of God that's spelled out and spoken in the Word of God and given to us as instruction that we are to take and embrace and practice. And if we become occupied with practicing and focusing on these things, then in time God will reveal by calling us and giving us vision and definition to the further illumination of what God has called us to as we go. But if we don't go and do what he's taught us to do, he's not going to graduate us. Okay. In the doctrine of hearing, the Word of God counsels us, Proverbs 4:24, Mark 4:24, and Luke 8:18. Doctrine of hearing, we're careful how we hear, we're careful what we hear, first of all. Guard our hearts with all diligence and be careful what we hear. And then we're to be careful how we hear. And if you study the snap the Gospels and the council where it says be careful how we hear, what we hear, the idea there is, goes along with James chapter 2, that if we don't put into practice what he's already given us as instruction, we're not going any further in school. Okay? In fact, the word Jesus counsels in those passages that if we're not careful to put into practice what we hear, that which even we seem to have will be taken away from us. Because he equips us first with the basic fundamentals of the doctrines of the faith so that we can grow and mature and go on to fight in the real battles. And if we're not doing the fundamentals, well, you're not ready for front lines. So, be careful to do. And James also, if you study, I think it's James 4, we want to be careful to be, in everything that we're being taught, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if we just hear the word and don't appropriate it in our lives, well, what it says there is we'll cheat ourselves. We'll cheat ourselves. So I believe I'm gonna close with this and just go back to it for a moment. Because I sense the Holy Spirit stressing it, and so I want to make sure that I reemphasize it. And it's the idea, okay, yeah, there's all kinds of confrontation and burdens and things that we need to be concerned with that are out there. And again, who am I to be, upset with my small problems, my small world, when you consider all the mass problems of, the shootings and the tornadoes and everything else that we hear about in the evening news. But you know what? Where you are is you're in a position of the front line, and that's where God has you to be. And God is concerned for that which concerns you. All right? And it's your battle coupled with him. You're the one that's facing it. We don't really know what everybody else alongside of us as we leave and go through the doors, what they're facing, really facing, and have to deal with. We have some idea, but and only you know and God knows what it is that you're facing and you're going through. And God cares. And our pastor has been used by God to teach us very well, and I'm repeating it now. Okay, if it is of concern, big enough concern for you to be concerned with it and occupied with it momentarily, then it's big enough of concern for God to be hear about it from you. Okay? If it's a big enough concern for you to be tempted to worry about it, then bring it to God because he cares. 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares upon him. Cast your anxieties, my King James says. Cast your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. Back to the Gospels. If a sparrow falls to the ground and God is concerned for the sparrow that falls to the ground or takes note of it, don't you think that he takes note of that which you're occupied and concerned with? And the scriptures tell us there, you and I are of much more value than a sparrow. We are his children. We are his children. And he cares for us. And how often do I find myself on the inspiration going back to Exodus chapter 3 and the nature of the name of Jesus? God knows what you're going through. And he knows because he's in us. He's walking with us. He feels it. And sometimes, and I've recently taught this, and just again, more often than not probably, the suffering and the attacks that we experience and the hardships and that are thrown against us in life are thrown not only at us, but more so at Christ in us, okay? And Christ in us knows, he knows everything that we're thinking, everything that we're experiencing. And if it's of importance to you, it's of value to you, it's of importance and value and concern to him. So pray without ceasing so you won't faint. Learn to prevail where you're at and take and possess the victory. Since the days of John the Baptist until now, Jesus says the kingdom of God has been suffering violence, and the violent take it by force, or the violent lay siege to it. You are in the front line. You hold a strategic position. You have a high and holy calling. And God is for you, and God is the one that's put you there. So look to him and trust and draw near. And again, no matter how small it is, it's your battle. Okay? It's your place in the world. You're not over in Egypt right now. You're not in Iran. You're not in South America. You're right here in Malta, okay? And then when you go home tonight, wherever you live, in Schenectady or Saratoga or Mechanicsville, and that's where God has you, and that is your world. And it may seem small, but yet it's not. It's part of God's world. And he wants to manifest his dominion by using you where you're at and what you're facing as a frontline believer. So be encouraged, be courageous, be strong, trust in the Lord, and go forward, because we are more than conquerors in Romans chapter 8. More than conquerors by him who has called us and is Almighty God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.